It's time for us to study from the Word of God. We're reading this morning from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. Peter writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting or expecting the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." In verse 11, Peter makes this statement, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," and then asks the question, "What manner of persons ought you to be in all of your holy conversation and godliness?" And I've chosen to call this question that Peter is asking God's great question for Christians. It's not a question that God is asking of sinners, that is, people who've never been saved, people who've never trusted in Jesus Christ, but is a question that's directed to these people who have received this letter. Saved people, baptized people, commissioned people, people who have been taught not only by Peter but also by Paul and by others who were preaching and teaching God's will. What is important? What is not important? I believe that all of us should try to answer that question. What is important? What is not important? If we can find an answer to either the positive or the negative aspect of this question that Peter asked them, about what is life really all about, and in the perspective of seeing everything burned up and dissolved, in perspective of that great destruction of the world, what manner of person should we be? I think in the light of what Peter's writing, he's saying, now you need to determine what's important and what isn't important. I hear more and more people saying, well, what difference will it make 100 years from now? You know, 100 years from now, who's going to know we did so and so? 100 years from now, who'll ever think about what we've said or what we've done? We may be trying to emphasize the importantness or the unimportantness of what we've said or what we've done by saying, when another generation arrives, they'll not pay any attention to what we've done, nor will they pay any attention to what we've said. I don't know who'll care 100 years from now other than you. There may not be anyone else care 100 years from now about what happens this Sunday in your life. But you'll care. Everyone else may forget, but God won't. No one may write an epitaph or inscribe on some monument what you've done. They may very well forget, but I can tell you quite frankly that God will not forget, and I can tell you that you won't forget either. If you're lost and you die without Jesus Christ and go to hell, you still won't forget. Or if you're a Christian and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can still tell you, according to the Word of God, that you still will not forget. There is no mental oblivion for any human being. We have to be responsible. We have to remember God has so designed us. God has so fixed it. God has so decreed it. And in light of this, Peter tries to get these people to look at life through the lines of the Bible. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? If you will apply this truth to your life, if you will look at your life and look at things in this life and say to yourself as you look at them, all of this will be burned up. All of this will be destroyed. All of this will come to naught. All of this will turn to dust. In the light of this thinking, then some things may not be as important as we have come to believe them to be. I think that in the light of this statement and in the light of this question, that a lot of things that we may have clung to in pride, a lot of things that we have said we will never give up and we will never turn loose, that the adhesive that holds them to our soul and to our mind suddenly begins to loosen in the light of all these things shall be destroyed. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Peter makes a statement concerning this world and everything that is in it. Notice. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This statement, the day of the Lord, obviously means from about the time of the rapture to the end of the millennial reign, about 1,007 days approximately, as I understand the Word of God. That is about the length of the day of the Lord, about 1,007 days. And this day of the Lord, which means a time in which God will work His will on this earth, a time in which things will be turned around 360 degrees, that wherein man controlled and the system based on the thinking of man has predominated, in this day of the Lord, God's going to turn it around and work His will, regardless of how men think and how men feel. He will work His will upon this earth. That's what the Bible refers to as the day of the Lord. And it will come as a thief in the night. That simply means that you're not going to have time to be faithful to God whenever God begins the day that is spoken of here. Jesus said people are going to be marrying and given in marriage, that people are going to be going to and fro and just unconscious of the events that are occurring in the world. Most of the people today look at the news of the Middle East with boredom and wish that the news would hurry and end so they could get on to some good program with a lot of interesting entertainment. And people don't realize that the Word of God is being fulfilled, that it seems we're near a war in the Middle East. Who can explain the belligerence of Israel? Who can explain the reluctance of the Arab nations to get involved in a war with the Israelis? But they're saying we've been pushed as far as we're going to be pushed. We've accepted the bombings in Lebanon with a lot of reluctance, but they've accepted them, but we're not going to do it anymore. And people are ignoring these things and trying to tune in some other news and get some other situation before them to think about. And Peter said, when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to come with certain events occurring. And Peter said, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens, that is the firmament, not God's dwelling place, of course, but the heavens, the firmament, shall vanish with a crackling roar. That's another translation of the earth shall pass away with a loud noise or great noise. One man has said with a crackling roar. Now, as I try to explain these statements here in this book, I want you to keep in mind an atomic bomb exploding and the descriptions given to us of what it is like to be involved by sight in the explosion of an atomic bomb. I'm not saying that this is the way in which this earth will come to an end, but I am saying that there are some truths involved, some scientific facts involved that ought to claim our intense interest. Peter said the initial destruction of the earth is going to occur by hearing a great noise, or as one translator said, a crackling, rushing of winds and waves. Those of you who have seen photographs of an atomic explosion know that one of the phenomena of an atomic explosion is the great rushing of wind, and the fact that it is the great expansion and rushing of wind that flattens and destroys a great deal of the buildings that are involved in the explosion. That's the first thing, a great and mighty rushing of wind. And then Peter states, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now let's look at these three words, element, fervent, and heat. The word that's translated elements here is a word that means the primary matter. When it's used in connection with physics and science, it literally means the first building block of that which is physical, the primary matter from which all things are constructed. The elements shall melt. And the word that's translated melt means to change form. When you melt something, you do not destroy it. It simply changes form. Peter is saying now the first thing that's going to happen in the destruction of the physical universe is a rushing of winds, a crackling roar. And then the primary matter from which all things are made will change their forms. And because of their changing forms, there will be fervent heat. And heat, fervent heat, is one of the elements of an atomic explosion. That is the second element of a second thing that occurs. First, the great rushing wind, then the changing of forms because of a melting. Now notice, in the which, that is, during this time known as the day of the Lord, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall pass away. And this is exactly what Jesus said. The earth and all that are in it, all the works that are in it, shall be burned up. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. He didn't say that if things continue as they are, that if men do not repent, then there's a good possibility that the earth will pass away. But Jesus said, the earth, heaven and earth shall pass away. But Jesus said, my word shall not pass away. He means the truth that I teach you, they're not going to be touched. When this earth is destroyed, they're not going to be burned up. But the earth and all things that are therein shall pass away. They shall be burned up. You can't point out. You can't single out a single solitary thing that is physical that will not be burned up and destroyed in the day of the Lord. If Jesus comes back, this building, if this building's not destroyed previously, this building will be burned up. We put a lot of emphasis on church buildings. But this is really unimportant when you consider that it's going to be burned up and literally melted down. That's, I think, a good phrase. And you remember how fearful we were, the 3 Mile Island incident, when people were talking about meltdown. Oh, God, what a terrible thing threatening us. Meltdown. That's just the 3 Mile Island that we were talking about, and that's just a tensy drop in the bucket compared to a meltdown of all this earth and everything that is in it. Now you think about that and consider really how important some of the things are that you've categorized as the most important. You're working for it and you're striving for it, or you're all upset about it. Consider it. Consider that in the light of everything will be burned up. You just save all the money you can save. It'll get burned up. Buy all the gold you can buy, it'll get built up. Build the biggest house you can build, it'll get burned up. You say, well, what's going to happen? It's going to be burned up. Peter uses another expression. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And I looked at this word and I studied it as best I could. And it means to loosen or to disunite the parts of anything. To destroy, to tear down, or to allow to come apart. Now, we live in a world of atoms. And every atom has a great force of attraction to its own self. When they talk about splitting an atom, they're talking about pulling it apart. But its attraction is so great that it wants to come back together. It is united in the strongest bond of anything that exists. The atom wants to stay together. But the word dissolve means for it to lose its power of attraction and to simply come apart. Now, if every atom in the world suddenly loosens and just comes apart, then everything will be dissolved. Everything will literally lose its own shape. It'll change form. Nothing's going to be destroyed, but the form of everything is going to be changed. And this tremendous power of the atom pulling on itself is going to be loosened by the power of God. And the Bible teaches us that it is by the power of God that we're not consumed every day. And I believe the only thing that keeps this world together is the power of God. And whenever God cuts the power off, it'll just come apart at the seams, atom by atom. And even the atoms themselves will come apart. Now think about that. Think about the fact that the heavens will pass away and the elements will melt and the earth and all that is in them will be burned up. And now since you're thinking about all these things being dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? This word conversation means life, but it means more than simply biological life. In fact, it doesn't really mean biological life. But it means the mode of actions that make up your life. It literally means what you do. Your conduct, your deportment. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what kind of life ought you to live? How pious, Peter is saying, and how devout your life ought to be. What holy, godly, pious people you ought to be in the light of all these things being dissolved, of all these things being melted, of all these things passing away. You ought to be godly, pious people. In all and every mode of life. And I think we ought to ask ourselves, what manner of people are we? I mean, what is the substance of you in regard to holiness? In regard to piety? What is the sum total, the measure of your Christianity? What is the object, the motive, and the sum total of our lives as they are viewed in the light of the Word of God? In your daily life, are you an honest person? Isn't it amazing that the world is literally perplexed with honesty? They are shocked at honesty. If you are undercharged at the grocery store and you look at your tape and you look at the groceries that you bought and you find that they charged you $20 less than they should have charged you, if you take that $20 back to the grocery store, they will be awestricken by what you've done. They'll be astonished. And more than likely, they'll take the $20, and after you leave, they'll talk about how stupid you were to bring it back. Or if you see someone drop some money and you pick it up and you take it and tap them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you dropped a 10. Here it is." The guy or the gal will take it. But as they walk away, there'll be a little smirk on their face and they'll be thinking, "Well, that dumb fool. Boy, if I found a $10 bill, I wouldn't turn it in." He that is faithful in the least will be faithful in that which is much. And one of the great problems with the church today is a lack of basic honesty among the people of God. We think the reason that our church doesn't grow is because we don't have any programs. I hear that constantly. But I'm going to tell you why this church doesn't grow, and you won't like it. It's because of a lack of basic dedication to the truth of the Word of God. It's not a lack of programs. It's because we don't care. And because if we invited people to church, they'd laugh at us because our lives are too crooked to have much of a testimony in the name of God. It's not a lack of programs. We have the divine program in position. It's the people. You say, "Yeah, those people ought to straighten up." No, you point your finger right back at you. Okay, let's just get honest in the light of all the things that are going to be destroyed and melted and pass away. "Well, if we had another pastor, I'd go to work." No, you wouldn't. He said, "Well, if we had another choir director, I'd sing in a choir." "Well, if I knew where the money is given, I'd give more money." No, you wouldn't. He said, "Well, if it's somebody else leading the visitation program, I'd get out and visit." No, you wouldn't. Everything that you're thinking about right now as a reason for your not serving God is just not true. The basic problem is you and your relationship to God, not others and their relationship to God. You'll never amount to much until you get that straight in your mind. Until you admit it in all humility before God. It's not the circumstances of life, it's you. It's not because you're in poor health or because you're in good health or because you got a family or you don't have a family or because you've got a job and don't have a job. None of these really make that much difference. The real issue is your relationship to God, not mine, Brother Goodwin's or Brother Baker's or any other person's in this church. The main problem is your relationship to God. And I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're doing exactly what you want to do. No one is keeping anyone else from serving God. You're the person that stands in your way. No other person. Now I'm saying that this morning to get you to see that Peter is saying, look, how important is this? I mean, really, how important is that? In the light of the fact that everything else in the world except what you do for God is going to melt and be dissolved. Say, well, I've got to make money. Well, all your money is going to melt. I've got to build a house. All your houses are going to melt. So, well, I've got to have some relaxation. Well, your TV set's going to melt. Well, we need to get out in the car. Your car's going to melt. Look, the Bible says, and the works that are therein. You know what's going to be left? Just honesty and integrity and truthfulness and honor and faith. These are the only things that'll be left. Everything else is going to burn up. Now consider that in the light of it. What manner of people ought we to be? I think the answer is just so obvious that every one of us can say, I know. I know what kind of person I ought to be in the light of the fact that all this is going to be dissolved. I know. And I think you know about your talk and your witness and your giving and your Bible study and your church attendance. I think you know the obvious answer. Peter said, not dreading the day of the Lord. He said, oh, if that's what's going to happen, how I dread it. But Peter said, and hasting, looking for, and earnestly desiring the coming of the Lord. The coming of the day of the Lord. Peter said that God's people ought to be so sick and tired of the world system that they will stand together and cheer when the world's on fire, because God has finally brought it to conclusion and Jesus has finally come as king to rule upon this earth, and a rule of righteousness will be ours. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're gonna get rid of this dirty, rotten, hell-bound world. All of the conniving and the lying and the stealing and the robbing, the raping and the murders. It's going out in a noise and a burst. And everything just comes unglued. Thank God. We can be ready as God's people. But many of God's people aren't ready. We can do better. God expects us to do better. And we ought to do better. Because everything that we're hanging on to is going to come apart. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved. What manner of people ought you to be in regard to your living the holy and pious life for God and Jesus Christ?